independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, let's check in on some basketball in our city. Third-ranked Houston Cougars with a big win yesterday over Texas Southern. They're now 4-0. It was cool seeing those two teams play, by the way. It's the first time that they've played since 2012. I'd like to see that keep going. But Houston with the victory. Cougs keep rolling. Big night for Marcus Sasser. Big night for Jairus Walker, who looks like a lottery pick. Cougs win. Very cool to see. They play Oregon on Sunday in Oregon.
I love it. I love the fact that this team keeps rolling. You and I talked about it yesterday, the fact that Vegas, in terms of their odds, regardless of what the rankings say right now, have the Cougars as the best odds to win it all. I think it's fantastic. I think it's great for the city. It's great for Kelvin. It's great for you. It's great for the Cougs and the fan base. And it's great as they get ready to emerge on the new things that are going to open up with a new conference, too, to be able to establish yourself, to carry it over, and continue with recruiting and adding to, as we talk about sustained winning like the Astros. People sleep on how long Kelvin's already been winning, and if he can continue to take it to the next level and keep it there, now you're talking about the way Gonzaga came on the scene and then never left and then continued to build. No matter, they don't have a football team, it doesn't matter. They don't have other sports that are as big and attention-grabbing as basketball. It doesn't matter. The Cougs are on the map in basketball again, and it's a fantastic time if you're any kind of a basketball fan or just a U of H fan to realize this team is not going anywhere.
Sunday will be fun for a road test. There was Big 12 representatives at Fertitta yesterday I was talking to. And I started to just, I don't like doing this, but I started to daydream a little bit about some matchups next year.
Kansas.
You get Baylor at Fertitta. You get Kansas at Fertitta. You get Tech at Fertitta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Now, what? Go ahead, Brendan.
Did you guys see Samson yesterday complaining about the notifications on his watch?
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny after
our
conversation.
I've noticed that before, too. I've noticed him do that. I've noticed him look at his watch before, knowing that he's getting notifications on Twitter, and then it happened in his press conference.
Who the hell's texting him during games?
I don't know.
I stopped a long time ago because he wasn't responding the way I liked, so I need immediate responses. He must have his phone on vibrate, and it pisses me off, so I thought
that was funny after our conversation.
That was funny, yeah. That was funny in the press conference.
The only thing that concerned me thinking about this, and someone at the gym asked me about this today, I meant to ask you, because the conference schedule, aside from maybe Memphis, is, and Cincinnati lost last night, but I'm curious in terms of their overall schedule, will that hurt them preparing them for the tournament?
I think it'd be naive to say it. Preparation, no. I'm not worried about it. Kelvin
but
Samson,
I mean, you're looking at a Gonzaga
test
team that already played Michigan State, that just got done playing
Texas,
that's going to play Kentucky.
But they're also going to play a WCC schedule for the last three months of the season and not play anybody for 3 months of the season. I mean, Houston plays at Oregon. That's a good test. Yeah. They play Virginia in Virginia, Alabama, who beat them last year here, and they play St. Mary's, who's nationally ranked.
And St. Mary's is the Gonzaga's conference. I would say they're the only one that –
I think it may be from more of a seed perspective, but I think that the Cougars have enough like national relevance that it won't matter a lot. I talked to Lenardi the other day. Lenardi does color for St. Joe's.
Oh, is that
actually
right?
Yeah. So I actually talked to Lenardi for about 10 minutes. He's like, oh, I love this team. So maybe he'll have an influence there. But a big test for the Cougars in Oregon on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Rockets won a basketball game. I don't know if we want the Rockets to win right now. I didn't watch this game, obviously, because I was at the U of H game, but I saw a lot of the Twitter feedback. I know that Luka didn't play. It was basically the Mavs B team, their JV. I think most of us want the Rockets to lose this year. Is that fair? Like, I know that we talk about the Texans, Embrace the Suck, number one pick. I think we want the Rockets there, too, because of Wembanyama.
Similar to Embrace, competitive, find a way to lose late, and be, with the last year that you control your own draft pick, and have a chance to get a kid as generational as Wembanyama.
Yeah.
And even if you get Scoot, it could be the perfect fit with the rest of the kids you got on your roster. A top two pick would be very, very important for this team for the last chance in a while to get your own pick to be where it needs to be. So I'm totally with that. Yeah, I'm down with losing right now for the Rockets.
I went and looked at the Rockets draft picks coming up, and they own the Nets pick, either, you know, a trade swap or outright own them for the next, like, I think through 2027. The Oklahoma City picks that they owe to Oklahoma City, most of them are lottery protected. Like, not lottery protected, they're like top four protected, where if the Rockets finish with a top four pick, they don't have to give that to Oklahoma City. So there is a little bit of insurance there. But I think most of us want the Rockets to lose. I was talking to my buddy about this, and he's like, yay, Rockets won. I was like, hey, don't we want the Rockets to lose right now to improve their lottery chances, things like that? He's like, well, yeah, but I hate Dallas. Is your hatred for Dallas enough to change the Rockets winning, losing for just one night? To where, like, yeah, you have this idea, this philosophy, that you want the Rockets to lose, but because they're playing the hated Dallas Mavericks, and I think it's more Dallas than, like, actually the Mavericks, is it okay for one night that the Rockets can beat the team in the city that you cannot stand?
You know why it's okay, Jeremy? Because OKC won last night. Because OKC pulled off a win last night. So, therefore, it's not as damaging as it could be, and it's still early in the season. But I don't feel like this is the Astros-Yankees rivalry. I don't feel like the Mavs rivalry. Yeah, Christian Wood left, but you traded him, and you traded him to Dallas. And he had a big night, but that's what he does. But he doesn't become relevant when you need him the most in the fourth quarters and big games. They sat Luka Doncic. Luka's obviously head and shoulders their best player. And they probably look like he could use a night off and we should beat the Rockets anyway. They just didn't. So you could be looking for the win a lot of different ways and saying it was a great thing. My biggest thing why it's okay is because the other team that's arguably the worst team in basketball won. But overall, I look at this and say, it's not like the NFL where you embrace the suck. If you have the worst record, there's no lottery and ping pong balls and other things that factor in. You're going to pick number one. If you have one of the worst three records in the league, Your ping pong ball is increased, but you have a chance of picking one, two, three, four, five. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as it is in the NFL.
Yep.
But it's also factored in how did the other teams that are around you sucking looking.
Yeah, you want to finish with one of the top three records. Mm-hmm. Like
worst three.
Right? I agree with you that it's not. Yeah, I look at reverse order of standings in the NBA, much like I look in the NFL. So I say it kind of backwards. It's not so much Rockets-Mavericks rivalry. I think it's more Houston-Dallas rivalry at this point, especially where the Rockets are in the landscape of the NBA. And I think that there's probably four teams that are in the hunt for those worst three records, Detroit, Houston, Charlotte, Orlando. Lakers currently are. Maybe I'm naive, but I don't think the Lakers are going to finish with a bottom four record in the NBA. I think it's down to those four teams. So maybe for one night it's okay, but...
You don't think OKC?
No, I had OKC in that...
You said Detroit, Charlotte,
actually, I don't have OKC
Houston.
In that mix.
Yeah,
I overlooked them because of their record. They're 7-8.
Yeah, I think OKC at the end of the day is going to fall down.
Yeah.
And that's the way Sam Presti's a big fan, I think, of Embrace the Suck.
Yeah, it's surprising they're 7-8, but they're probably in that mix too. Yeah. I just overlooked them because of their record. Detroit, Houston, Charlotte, Orlando, and Oklahoma City. You bring up the point where it's like not quite the same as the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Texans are going to be in a pretty similar situation here in a few weeks that the Rockets were in yesterday. If you believe that you want Houston to always beat Dallas no matter what. Deshaun Watson comes into town in a few weeks. The Houston Texans currently have the top pick in the NFL draft. We talked about this all offseason whenever the Texans first traded Deshaun, that they're going to maybe play Deshaun. Then when the schedule came out and the suspension came out after the appeal from Deshaun Watson that the Texans would be the first opponent for Deshaun Watson's Cleveland Brown debut, that the only game some people wanted to win, even the Embrace the Suck folks, I almost got those letters mixed up, even though those guys, like they want the Texans to beat Deshaun Watson. They want to ruin Deshaun Watson's debut. Now that we're a couple of weeks away from that, now that the Houston Texans are right now the very top spot in the NFL draft, now that we're allowing ourselves to really come to terms with the idea that the Texans might actually get Bryce Young, if you're a C.J. Stroud guy, might actually get C.J. Stroud, Texans-Browns, has your opinion changed at all from the offseason about how you feel about that from a Houston Texan winning that game perspective?
I understand the passion of the Houston fan base to want to get back at Deshaun Watson. I understand... And totally am on board with the fact that you would love to win that game and you would love to just get one chance to, like, unload every kind of angry feeling and you know, pain that you've had to go through and suffering because of him, but not at the cost of losing the number one overall pick to me. It's not worth it. Again, it's short-term gratification versus long-term success. I think you could have more. You're going to have way more long-term success by drafting number one overall in each and every round of the draft, including number one in the first round, as opposed to, hey, you beat Deshaun, but in the process, you slipped down, you lost the number one overall pick. Now you don't control your own destiny and picking whoever you want. I just don't think, I get how you want to get back at him. I just don't think it's worth losing the number one pick over.
See, you could get both, right? I mean, you could win that game and still finish with the worst record in the NFL, but now it's in jeopardy. I think the way that you said it was about as good as you can say it. You control your destiny for the worst pick in the NFL draft. I'm with you. Like, my opinion on this has changed. I was one in the offseason saying, yeah, you want to beat Deshaun Watson, even if you're embracing the suck. You want to make his life miserable, ruin the Cleveland Browns season. As Brendan has pointed out, Cleveland's probably not going to the playoffs anyways with Deshaun Watson. You give Deshaun Watson one, you let him beat you here at NRG Stadium, you go find that franchise quarterback, and you never have to worry about Deshaun Watson again. I have changed my opinion on it based on where the Texans are, based on where the Browns are. Give me a loss to Deshaun Watson. I'm willing to sacrifice that for an opportunity at Bryce Young at the top of the NFL draft.
I think it's the wise decision to make. Like, you can still get at him, and he has to come through your stadium and go through that tunnel, and you can scream and yell and have your signs and unleash your fun frustrations in a lot of ways. But if you don't win that game, you should not be heartbroken by that, because he'll hear it. He knows it. He already knows going into it that it's going to be a hellhole to go into and play. So all of that could be true, and you don't have to come out with a W. And that's the way I look at that, because for the long-term success of this franchise, it is so vitally important to have the top pick in every round of the draft next year, and I haven't changed my opinion.
T-Mac says, embrace the suck for the Rockets and Texans, but definitely try and beat any Dallas team regardless. Do you have that same energy for Deshaun Watson, Cleveland Brown team, when they come to NRG Stadium? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So before the year, we had a kind of a bet on how the Texans were going to fare in the season, different categories, offense, defense, where they stack up against the rest of the league. I think we had five categories, best of five category, whoever wins the most gets lunch picked up. And I learned yesterday, I'm one day old now of how long I've known this, that the winner gets to pick where lunch is from. So we're going to check in on that, see how it stands, and maybe Blankers are going to try to buy himself out of the bet. 713-780. I don't even know how we're doing.
I don't either, to be honest with you.
It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Couple of texts on the HRP listener line in terms of Watson, Browns coming to town. Texans want to lose, though. I think the Hive has the right idea here. 0173, why not lose by one or a field goal but get three picks on Deshaun? Win-win. I like where your mind's at, 0173. 1209, I'd say Houston loses the game but breaks Watson. Maybe a back injury that requires lots of massages and rehab and or leaves him out through the next season. Are we wishing injury for Deshaun Watson?
I was going to say, I think it's very, very tacky and inappropriate to wish injury on a player. But I don't mind thinking that you want to get some really hard hits on him. I get that. Yeah. I just wouldn't take it so far as to say because of those said hits that he gets injured.
Break his back. Spinal. All right, so before the start of the year, we played the bid game for how the Houston Texans would fare. Basically, we started at 32. Do we think the Texans would have a top 31 offense? Do we think they would have a top 30 offense? We basically pushed each other to see how far we were willing to go. So we have an update on that. The loser of this best of five series, because we picked five different categories, owes the other one lunch, which apparently the winner is going to get to decide where the lunch is coming from. Brendan has an update. We forgot that this existed before yesterday, because that's the kind of season it's been for the Texans. You didn't forget?
I kept meaning to bring it up. I just finally brought it up. But I knew that we had done this. I had no idea where it stood. Yeah, I knew that I believed less in the Texans than you did, so I was hopeful that I was going to be okay.
Well, I had forgotten completely.
Joel, are you ready for essentially halfway through the season update?
Yeah.
So there were five categories. It's weird. 17, you know. There's no
it's week
exact
11.
Half.
Yeah. It's like not even.
We're more than halfway.
Yeah.
Just a little
it's
bit.
It's not even roughly halfway.
No, it's roughly halfway.
No.
We're more than
no.
halfway.
Either week 8 or week, or what is there, 18 weeks? Like after the ninth week is the halfway point.
You know what this halfway. Is?
We're 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, roughly.
You know what
roughly?
This is? This is the midway point in baseball being the All-Star break
yeah.
when it's way
all
back.
Right, well, I'm excited yeah. to tell you that one of you is losing.
Brendan
okay?
thinks 60-40 is half and half.
It's pretty close. All right, there were five categories. Now, as a reminder, Jeremy did go more optimistic on yeah. all five
of them. I am the more optimistic yeah. of the two of us.
Okay.
All righty.
The first category was the draft slot.
Ooh.
Jeremy said the Texans would pick five or higher, meaning that they would be 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, I'm down 1-0.
Not in a good spot there for Jeremy.
No, I've lost that. Like I'm ready to concede defeat there. Like you can go hold the press conference speech
as well. You should, sir.
Yeah, I'm not winning that one.
Category number two. Jeremy said the scoring defense of the Texans would be top 23.
Ooh, that might be close.
The current result, 20.
Ooh, I
wow.
got one.
He's winning.
Now, I need the Texans to, you know, finish strong.
Yeah, this
good
is,
luck with that.
This is very much, this whole thing, I think, outside of the draft pick is mostly still in play.
I hope there's a look whole lot Texan. Of big rushing games coming against them.
Look what Lovie Smith is doing. People are calling for Lovie Smith's job, and they're about to. He's about to win me a bet. Sign him to a multi-year deal.
Hey, did I mention that first category again?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with, well, I guess that has a lot to do with Lovie.
Yeah, so I just want to bring that up.
The third category, Jeremy said the scoring offense would be top 25.
Oh, they're dead last, right?
They're 28th.
Yes.
It's better than dead last. Oh, that could... Okay. So let's see. They're 28, 27, 26, 25. You know it's 25th? This is
by
iconic.
The way, this is all by per game. Cleveland. So I did take into account bye weeks.
No. Team that's in 25th is Green Bay.
Oh!
The Green Bay Packers are in 25th. That's the irony there. Texans are only... They're less than 2 points back from that. If they... I mean, Pep Hamilton can guide this offense and Davis Mills can look like Mac Jones, then I might have a chance.
The 2-1 lead.
So you're pulling for Pep, huh?
That one's still up in the air. I don't feel good about it. And yes, I'm pulling for Pep.
Pep.
I don't want Hep. I want Pep. So I can have a little bit of lunch, courtesy of Blankers.
A 2-1 lead for Joel with two more categories to go.
All right. I don't feel good.
Jeremy said the rushing offense Ooh. Would be top 28.
Oh, yeah. I'd
oh, he's got
that
easy. That's easy.
It's not easy.
No, you got that.
Not easy. It's not as
Where close. Are they right now?
Yeah.
They're 26.
Yeah, it's not
oh,
easy.
Okay,
not
so easy. You say there's a chance.
That's what's funny about
this
the Texans.
This is where resting... Oh, rest Damian Pierce. Sit that man down. We are all in for Benjamin. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm glad they got him instead of Rex Burkhead. Now, so it makes it 2-2, right?
Yes, sir.
This is what's like... People were kind of misguided with the rushing offense for the Texans. Oh, the Texans got a good running game. No, they don't. They got a good running back.
Yeah.
They have one good running back, and the running game's actually pretty lousy.
Now they got Uno, Eno. All in for Benjamin.
They have one, and they have Eno.
All right. Final category.
No, they don't have Uno. They got Eno. So they have two.
Final category, 2-2. Jeremy said the passing offense would be top 27.
Did I win all of these bets?
It's 2-2.
No, dude, I'm saying, did I win the bid on
yes.
all of these? I won the bid on
yes.
all of them?
You were more optimistic on every single
no
one.
Question.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
I am more optimistic than
Jeremy
you.
Said the passing offense would be top 27.
I think
Where
I'm
are
that.
They?
They are 24th.
Yeah.
Jeremy is currently yeah. up 3-2, but...
Optimism wins the day, as always.
There's only one that's pretty close to set in stone.
That's the draft pick.
And it's the draft pick, which Joel is leaving. I think this could come down to the wire.
I think it could come down to the last.
You may have to check back in
you
a few
know,
weeks.
You know the rest factor is coming, yeah. right? You know that they're going to start shutting people down.
Why? Who are they shutting down?
Pierce?
Except for maybe Pierce. Maybe Pierce. But they also, like, I mean, is Lovie coaching for a job?
Out,
is Pep coaching for a job? They might not shut them down.
That last category all by itself, that means you have faith in Davis Mills to keep slinging it around the yard?
No, it doesn't. You know what it means? It means I expect the Texans to be down in games where Davis Mills is going to have to throw it 35 times.
But he's going to throw it to a lot of people in the other uniform.
So what? That doesn't mean that he's losing yards. This isn't fantasy football. You're not getting negative 5 yards every time he throws
a pick.
Yeah,
Brandon Cooks who doesn't want to be there, that doesn't want to catch the ball. You got Nico Collins who might not be able to
Brandon
catch the
Cooks
ball.
Brandon Cooks is a pro.
You're missing the important piece, Joel. They added Amari Rodgers.
That's right.
Which is exactly why, yeah, because he can catch with a doll's hands. So, I mean, I think that you've got a really good chance.
I don't understand how I won the bidding on every single one of these.
I do.
I don't get it.
At a certain point, I was like, there's no chance that's happening, and I bailed.
Man, but I'm winning. I'm up 3-2.
Yeah, but you know what? You know who you are? You're Russell Wilson in the MVP balloting every single year. You're winning at this point, at the midway point in the season.
That's
You're
fine.
Winning at the almost midway point in the season. But you know how many times Russell Wilson won the MVP? Zero.
I am curious.
Hey, Hive, let's ride.
Let me ask this, mostly to Joel, but I suppose Jeremy could jump in as well. If you had the option to totally just back out of this bet now, would you?
I'll give Blankers that option.
No way.
Blankers, instead of buying me lunch, I'll let you buy out of this bet by giving me an appetizer from one of my favorite restaurants.
I'll just get you a cake on your birthday.
I'd rather have an appetizer from one of my favorite restaurants.
I am not backing out of this. I feel great about where I'm at, and I think that they are going to pull guys out and slow down even more down the stretch. I'm fine.
All right. Don't forget this day,
you
day that I allowed
you want
you
me
back
to give
to
you
buy
the same
out
option, don't you?
No, I'm not going to buy out of it. I'm winning. Why would I buy out of a bet that I'm currently
Because you know by
winning?
The end of the season it's going to completely change.
I feel
change.
Good about this, okay. actually. I think all, right. all the three categories – I don't think that they're going to like go backwards in the passing category. They have to throw the ball all the time. The running category was what, top 28? Like, I feel safe there. What was the other one that I'm
they're
winning?
They're at 26.
Yeah, but I don't think that they're going to go down. What was the other one that I'm winning?
You're winning.
Is it the point total
scoring
points?
Offense?
Yeah, I feel good about this because the Texans, like the other teams, are going to get up 17-3.
I'm sorry, you're losing scoring offense.
No, scoring defense is the one I'm winning.
Yes,
scoring defense.
You're winning scoring
I feel good
defense.
About it. I'm winning.
And then both rushing
let's
and
ride.
Passing.
Let's
yards.
Ride.
I feel really good where I'm at too. So indeed, let's yeah. ride.
It sounds like we're digging in. I'm not doubling down though. Like there's no way I'm doubling down on this. A lot of people are texting in what they want to see from the Texans and Deshaun Watson. 713-780 ESPN. The HRMP listener line 713-780-3776. Eric the driver. I want to see 20 sacks and 10 roughing the passer calls for a loss. I want the Predator to be afraid of our defense. Ain't nobody afraid of the Houston Texans defense, but maybe they can throw some punches. Not punches, but like late hits, things like that.
I can see the locker room picking up the tab if there's a couple of late hits that get fined.
What is who? Greg Williams. Greg Williams should be the interim defensive coordinator
right.
for the Houston Texans. That
bounty
week.
Gate.
Put a little bounty gate on Deshaun Watson. Who says no? I don't think anybody says no.
I think the city would probably do a GoFundMe to pick up the say Jerry Hughes, but he wasn't here. Say someone that was here that went through all of this and had to deal with all the questions and all the distractions. Say someone like that that's still on the defense. I mean, what's our guy that we thought was going to have a big breakout year?
And oh, Grenard.
Grenard. Say Grenard for one game decides that, you know what, this dude derailed my career. I'm going to take it out on him. And some fan starts a, what's Texan Judy or whatever that always gets up?
Debbie.
Texan Debbie. Texan Debbie starts a GoFundMe for the Jonathan Grenard Fund because he got fined $25,000 for a late hit on Deshaun. The city pays for it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. 7629, not tacky to wish physical injury on a sexual abuser. I wish him lots of pain and humiliation. His trade demands have nothing to do with it. I think, Brendan, I think your father texted in. He said, if you include the playoffs, we're halfway through the season. Okay, you got a little Brendan defender here.
Roughly, okay, the word roughly doesn't mean, like, exact. It literally, it's not the same word. 60% is pretty close
I mean,
to
roughly
50%.
Roughly means close.
If I would call
is 60. Is 10% close?
Yes, absolutely.
713-780-3776 is 10% close. 0367 brings up an interesting question. How much higher would a loss for Cleveland make their pick? He says, is it better to have two top 10 picks versus, like, number 3 and 15? I'd rather have...
I want one, and then I'll take 15.
1 and 15 versus two top 10 picks. I'll take 1 and 15
I'll
over like
15.
3 and 10.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN. Jeremy Fowler covers the NFL for ESPN. He's going to join the Killer Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being lucky to be joined by Jeremy Fowler, who covers the NFL for ESPN. Jeremy, thanks for taking a few minutes to come on with the Killer Bees this evening. Look, Davis Mills, quarterback for the Houston Texans. This was kind of a prove-it year. Let's see if you could be the guy going forward. And look, people in the city are suggesting they bench Davis Mills, which what's the point of doing that? But it does seem like that decision for the Texans has already been made heading into 2023.
Well, you know, certainly I think they're open to their options after this year. You know, Davis Mills, they like enough to give him a full year. I mean, that's my expectation at least. I don't think he'll get benched here today or tomorrow. You know, I think he'll get more run through the end of the year, see what else he can do. But there have been some ups and downs. So, you know, he's still, it's funny when I talk to people around the league, especially entering the year, they really like Davis Mills as a complete quarterback. Like, he can make reads, make decisions, accurate, all those things that maybe some of the other rookies that went higher than him were not. But it just hasn't always translated, and he hasn't had a ton of talent around him either. So it's a combination of factors, and you know, we'll see what they decide at the end of the year.
Jeremy, I'm curious your thoughts on Jeff Saturday. I mean, a co-worker of yours, Obviously, yeah. We talked about it. The timing of it was they really have nothing to lose. And Irsay, who's never afraid to think a little bit out of the box, takes a chance on a guy that's been a leader in the locker room to see what he might be able to turn into. Obviously, other guys like Bill Cowher have had issue with it. What were your thoughts on it?
You know, I think both things can be true. You can certainly have an issue with it, and I understand from the coaching standpoint of you have a lot of qualified candidates league-wide who work, you know, really spent every waking hour they have in the coaching profession, and a very intricate job outlook. It's very different from other jobs, right? You're working all the time, long hours, away from your families, all that, and then you see somebody skip the line. That's frustrating. At the same time, I don't, you know, people get chances all the time based on maybe a unique trait or quality they have that somebody's intrigued by, or just the mere world of connections. That's the most important thing with job placement, is connections a lot of times. Whether that's fair or not, that is the reality. And Jeff Saturday is well thought of by an owner of an NFL team, you know, like, and he has a, despite the zero experience, he does have a dynamic personality that I think could play well in a locker room, and we're seeing the early dividends of that. So I just think in this case, both things can be true.
Jeremy Fowler, our guest on the HRMP guest line. I think I have a contrarian opinion when it comes to this, because we had this conversation in Houston because Josh McCown was a candidate not once but twice. He was never my top option, but I always thought it was silly with the whole like mindset that a first-time coach as a head coach can't work in the NFL. Because if I'm an owner, I don't care about the resume. I care about hiring the right guy, and I think sometimes the right guy can be a Jeff Saturday, can be a Josh McCown. Do you think a guy in that situation, zero NFL coaching experience, zero college coaching experience, can be good right out of the gate?
You know, we don't really know. It's possible. I mean, you're right. Josh McCown, that's a good reference. Really, Jeff Saturday was almost the second NFL head coach without any experience to get the job. Because Josh McCown almost is the first, right? So it's clearly a trend that has permeated Major League Baseball and the NBA, and the NFL could be next. I mean, I think it's pretty obviously knocking on the door with the possibility. It's just, it's been slower to adapt because of the sheer, all the moving parts involved in the NFL job. 53 players, a lot of schematics, you know, a lot of decision making that has to be made on the fly and at halftime, and that requires a great deal of skill and experience. So, but somebody's going to get the job full time, whether it's a Josh McCown or a Jeff Saturday or somebody else. It seems pretty clear owners are willing to do that. And also, they might feel like they can get a discount. You know, if you're trying to get Sean Payton, it's going to cost you $12 to $15 million a year. You know, if you're trying to get a former player who has no experience, you can maybe pay him as such. You know, so there is a financial component for these owners as well.
Jeremy, I'm interested in your thoughts. Where does OBJ land? He said he's now healthy. It was curious to me that he said he wanted to take a little time over Thanksgiving to get into football shape. I would think he'd sign with someone and get paid to do that. But we know that there are teams that still have needs, and maybe the teams that were on his list previously aren't on his radar now because they're not winning, i.e. Rams, Packers. Cowboys have said they're interested. Where do you think he lands, and can he help someone now?
Ooh, so, well, you know, I got a sneaky feeling that the Chiefs will be involved. I know they're pretty loaded up, but you know, they've left a little room for Adele if he wants to entertain that. Dallas has been out in front. They've almost been too full frontal about it, which makes me think they won't get it done, but there's another play involved here. So I can't quite figure that one out. You know, Giants are a possibility. I would think, you know, one of those three right now. And there's got to be a surprise somewhere, whether it's maybe the Ravens, somebody else who could get in the mix here.
Jeremy Fowler, our guest on the HRMP guest line. There is a new Texan. They signed, or actually they claimed, Eno Benjamin off of waivers from Arizona. It's an interesting one because he's had some good games this season, filling in for James Conner. There was rumors, I don't know, maybe you know something about, maybe an altercation with an assistant coach. It seems like he's too good of a player to land on the waiver wire. Why was he there to begin with?
Well, it's funny. I got a call from two different NFL teams that called me on Monday wondering what the heck happened with Eno Benjamin. Why would he possibly be cut? Which tells me that, okay, he's got a lot of interest in his life. And so that tells me he's a good player. And so that's a good pickup for Houston. As far as the other stuff, I did talk to some teams who think that that is true, that there was an issue with a coach over his playing time. So how far it went, I don't know. But, you know, I know from the player's standpoint that the release was a big surprise, and he didn't expect anything overly egregious to have had happened. So truth probably somewhere in the middle, but Houston certainly gets a capable tailback behind Damian Pierce who can help in the passing game as well.
Jeremy, what do you make of, obviously, the emotional podium speech or press conference of Carr, Derek Carr, after the Raiders loss? Some people said it's going to divide and one's got to go, either Carr or McDaniel. Davis came out, supported McDaniel in the situation. It just seems like everything is amok in Las Vegas right now. And how do you see that sorting out?
Well, you know, Carr's press conference tells me that things have been really hard there behind the scenes. I mean, he alluded to guys playing hurt, guys, you know, giving their heart and soul to the team. It seems deeper than just the normal football cliche. You know, I have kind of heard that the Patriots way is seeking there a little bit as far as guys having to work very long hours and kind of being grinded down a little bit. And so you wonder if that's part of this. But, I mean, at the same time, the NFL, you got to work hard and work long hours. That is what it is. So, and to McDaniel's credit, I had heard that he had changed his philosophy from the Denver days. So it's hard to figure out. But it seemed like what Carr was saying was deeper rooted than just normal frustration, if that makes sense. So I'm on high alert with Vegas. I mean, the owners come out in support of them. It would be a huge buyout to move on. So I really don't think that they're going to move on this offseason unless they're just sitting at, 3-14 or something, right? And it's just, playing an overturn. But I expect them to win a few games.
I ask that because we know that they're the Texans' number one competition right now for the number one pick. And I wouldn't think that they'd look at a quarterback, but if this is something that pushes Davis and he's already supporting McDaniel, would they try and move on from Carr?
It's possible. Well, keep in mind, with Derek Carr, you could probably get a pretty good return on a trade for him. And if you did release him, he would have a lot of suitors. I mean, this is a guy who's a top 12 to 13 quarterback. I know it hasn't worked out this year. But I know a lot of GMs who are very well thought of who like his game. So he would have no problem getting a job. And his contract, there's a clear out this year after 1 year, $25 million. The next year he's due $32 million in base, $33 million in base salary, plus some other bonuses. I think the team would be willing to pay that if he was traded. So I could see it, honestly, if you get the number one pick. You would just have to weigh, hey, are the quarterbacks available better than Derek Carr over the next 3 to 5 years, and if the answer is yes, then maybe you make a move. But it seems like all options are on the table there in Vegas.
Jeremy, the NFC is weird to me because you have Philadelphia and Minnesota, who at the start of the season, I don't think anybody really thought of Philadelphia or Minnesota as the Super Bowl representative out of the NFC. New York is a surprise. Dallas has been fine. The entire NFC East is at 500 or better. Who do you think is the best team right now in that conference?
I've kind of been sticking with San Fran a little bit. I picked them to get to the Super Bowl. When I picked them, that was operating as if Trey Lance would be the quarterback. I thought they'd have a little more explosive plays with him. And now that Jimmy Garoppolo, they should know what you're getting, but they have a ton of weapons, and the defense is really, really good. So they have the ingredients to get there. Eagles are right there. I think the people I talked to around the league are not really overly sold on Philly or Minnesota. Like they say they're playoff teams, but they just have a sneaky feeling they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. So,
Jeremy,
we'll see. But Philly's not battle tested yet. They still need a little bit of that. I think these losses, like the one in Washington, are actually good for them. And then Minnesota, they just Kirk Cousins. He does tend to show his true colors at some point. And they've had a weak schedule leading up to the Buffalo game. So we'll see if they can keep it up.
Jeremy, always appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. Enjoy your work, and hope to catch up again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. I'm looking forward to the guest one time whenever I say that to him, that we look forward to talking to you soon. You'd be like, yeah, fat chance it ain't happening. That would be so good.
Well, if there was
that'd
one guy hilarious. That was going to happen, it might have been Keith Law.
Maybe. I thought we were respectful.
No.
Not because of us.
Yeah, maybe on
Keith
another
Law.
Show.
It would have been Sean Merriman.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Actually, around this time last year, we had Sean Merriman on, and you pushed him a little bit.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I asked him if he murdered a person. I did. 713.
Where did that come from you?
He was
no,
alleged.
No, I know, but for you to ask that.
Because whenever you think of Sean Merriman's name, you think of that incident.
I know, but I just don't think, like I'm saying, you're so, like, you stay above board.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I ask tough questions all the time.
I don't say you don't ask tough questions.
I asked James Franklin to his face whenever he was at Penn State and he had that dude. I forgot the situation, but he had some dude. I was like, hey, what's up with this? To his face. Like,
I'm doubtful you asked anything anywhere that was as complicated or as tough as that
one.
I mean,
asking somebody if they murdered somebody? No, that is going to be the all-timer. Yeah, that's not going to get beat, Brendan. I hope it doesn't get beat.
Well, we were just talking about, like, who would be more pessimistic, optimistic on the bets and things like that. And I was like, I know you'll ask the tough question, but that one is
think about it.
Really tough.
If you think of Sean Merriman, you think about that. That is the first thing you think about. You can't have Sean Merriman on a show and not discuss that. You can't. I think you're failing as a host if you don't.
I mean, have you seen Houston media?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. All right. Jeremy Fowler said that there's no talent around Davis Mills. That is a notion that a lot of people think. How true is that, though? The whole Eno Benjamin thing with the coach, should we be concerned? And is San Francisco the best team in the NFC? I've heard a lot of things about Philadelphia the last couple of weeks that maybe the Texans played a part of exposing the Eagles. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about Fitz Roofing. Look, Fitz Roofing does so much more than roofing. They put a fence in my yard a couple of months ago, and it turned out so well that I've got coworkers now asking me to get them hooked up so that they can talk to Fitz about putting a fence in their yard, too. They do great work no matter what they do. They have the ratings that prove it, the warranties that are best in the business. They use the best products in the business, starting with CertainTeed shingles. And what they do for you that not many companies do is they come to you to check out what they can do for free. Most companies charge $75 to $100 for a service call just to come to your door to see what you got going on. They're not going to charge you a single cent. All you got to do is call them, 832-521-3001. From a leaky roof to a whole new roof on your business, commercial project, or your house, or maybe you need some home repairs or a fence in your yard. They're going to come to you and give you an estimate, check out what's going on, and tell you how they can help. You want them to come back, you just book the appointment. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. Go to FitzRoofing.com, FITZRoofing.com. Check out all the different services they offer and see how they can help. And if you need something checked out, 832-521-3001. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We've heard that promo a lot with the Wheelhouse. The whole, what is, you know, you keep saying it's New Day. What does that mean? Isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious? Like, I thought it was obvious.
I don't think so. National I'm with
New
Cody.
Let it flow obvious. And let it go.
Right, yeah. You just take off your clothes. You go nude. Yeah. Like, that's
drop the hammer on them.
Got to be what it means. I just googled it because Brendan said he's kind of doesn't understand too. He's more like Stutes than Jake, which you know never be on that side of it. He says, as the name suggests, people remove all articles of clothing on this holiday. I don't know if I call it a holiday.
Did you read the rest of that, Jeremy?
No, I stopped it with the bolt.
Many perceive this as a perverted notion, but the day celebrates freedom and aesthetics of the human body.
Yeah, they're saying that many perceive the notion, but it's wrong. So, like, yeah, you're part of a big group that is wrong. Congratulations. That's what you're saying to me. It's a day you get nude. Anyways.
I follow that as one possible option. But I'm with Cody that it could have been multiple things.
All right. Well, again, many perceive this as a perceived notion, but that's not the case, is what it says. 713-780-ESPN. I'd never heard of it before that promo either.
I really have not either. But you know what? What I'm convinced of more than anything else in this world is that there is a day for a day every day of the year.
Oh, no doubt.
And that it continues. Now there's multiples. Now, it could be like National Cinnamon Roll and Swing on a Swing Set Day on the same day because there's too many days for the amount of days that we run out of days in terms of what day it is.
What is, do certain days like that influence decisions that you make on that day, though? Because I'd be the first one to admit that they do influence decisions that I make.
Really?
If it's National French Fry Day, more than likely I'm having French fries that day.
Oh, that doesn't get me at all. But, like, obviously St. Patrick's Day, I'll wear green.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's a big one. I'm talking more of, like, right. The minor ones. You know what I mean?
There's more influence if we have a topic on the show that I'll, like, if we talk about soup, I will have soup that night because it sounds really good.
Yeah,
and
Jeremy's sending us a soup every night now.
Yeah, and then BK's pissed off because he doesn't understand the concept of soup.
I plan on carrying that bit on forever. Like, literally for the rest of my life. Every time I sit down and I'm enjoying a nice bowl of soup, I plan on sending a picture to that group chat.
At least you don't do it on social media, because nothing is more annoying on the planet than the people that think we need to know every food that they consume, every place they consume it, and pictures of it.
Yeah. I might do it on social media now that you said that. Okay. I might just take it
then
to the next level.
Then you will become officially annoying.
Well, you know, am I not already there?
I said officially.
What do they do on PTI? Like at the end, they used to have Stat Boy on that would issue
corrections.
I think we have to make a correction.
Okay.
The other day, we said that gumbo is not a soup. Some people took me to task on that. Looks like they were right. I think upon further review, that gumbo is a soup. Yeah.
I said, without getting people to lose their minds the wrong way, but I said it was more about like texture, thickness, consistency. Like I thought chili and gumbo and chowder were all far too consistent to be a soup, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Tell me how you found this out.
I just Googled it and it says it's a soup.
Google could be wrong.
You believe in Google? You believe in Blankers? 713-780-ESPN.
No brainer. He made the governing body.
Fowler said that there's no talent around Davis Mills.
That's not true.
Like I don't think that the Texans' talent on the offensive end is fantastic. But if you had a top 10 quarterback with a Brandon Cooks, a Nico Collins, Damian Pierce, and the offensive line, how do you think the Texans' offense would fare?
I think they'd be decent. I don't think they'd be great, but I think they'd be pretty good. I think that the fact that when you've got a guy that you didn't have a year ago, like Pierce, with a running game that was basically non-existent when Mills was, I guess, excelling to some point, and that's why everybody had so much hope for him, that you would think that that's a piece that they're better off with. And that a second year with Nico Collins, who looked like he could develop into something. Brandon Cooks, a lot of people thought going into the season, was a sneaky wide receiver one that, you know, really could do something this year that wasn't being valued enough. And their offensive line is better than it's been in a while, and I think it's above average. I think those are pieces.
I don't think like the talent around him is great, but I also don't think it's like absolutely brutal. Like I think it's bottom third of the league. I think if you look at 2020, where the Houston Texans, like that would be a decent case study of like what does a good quarterback look like with this offense? Because if you go to the 2020 Houston Texans, Brandon Cooks was their leading receiver, a little bit of a younger Brandon Cooks. They had Randall Cobb as like their second best receiver that year, and they had a running game that was led on the ground by David Johnson. David Johnson was their leading rusher in 2020. Damian Pierce is better than David Johnson was back in 2020. Your top three receivers that year, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, but Will Fuller was hurt. Only played in 11 games.
Will Fuller got hurt?
Yeah. And then Randall Cobb. And Jordan Akins was your fourth best receiver. Now he's back with this team. Like the 2020 offense, and I think the offensive line's better now. The 2020 offense is very similar to the 2022 offense with the exception of the quarterback position. And statistically, I know that team only won four games. Statistically, they were fine offensively. So I think Davis Mills has more talent around him than sometimes we let on.
See, I agree with that. I think that it's better than it's been. I don't think it's by any means less than average. I think in most cases, when you go position group by position group or just judge it, you know, based on its merits as a whole, if you take the quarterback out of it, just how it sits on paper, I believe that this is a better than average unit that could be worked with if you had the right quarterback. I think that, you know, you can go around the league, and we used to say it's pretty – I guess it's unrealistic at this point to say if a top 10 quarterback had this team, because not everybody does, right? But we always go by, again, that mid-range, top 15. Would this team be better? Could it be doing more? I think the answer to that is yes. If you – depending on where you have a Dak Prescott, depending where you have a Carr, some of these guys that are, you know, fringy top 10-ish but 10 to 15-ish, I think could do something with the guys that you have around – Davis Mills currently.
Someone just texted in that the Texans, if they had a top 10 quarterback, would be 4-6.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, I mean, the math doesn't add up there. But maybe they have three more wins, right?
Yeah. Like,
they lost a bunch of games early in the year where they do win if they have a top 10 quarterback. The Broncos game in Denver.
The Colts
game. Bears game in Chicago.
Colts game here when they blew
it late. Oh, the tie.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't. Yeah, that's, I didn't look at that one because they didn't lose
it. But that would have been a win.
Absolutely, that would have been a win. Maybe, actually, I think Tennessee, whenever they started Malik Willis, would have been a win as well. Yeah. So there's your four wins. I agree with that text, actually. I think with a top 10 quarterback, this team does have four wins. Which, like, I'd push back a little bit with Fowler saying that there's absolutely zero weapons around Davis Mills. I think that there's okay weapons around Davis Mills. The Eno Benjamin thing is interesting. Like, again, it's fine that they used a waiver on him. The altercation with a coach isn't a great look.
Nope.
I still would have picked him up. Like, don't get me wrong. I would still pick him up. Might be on a tighter leash, though, now that he's a Houston Texan, because if you're a one-win team, you're not going to put up with some backup running back that's a problem in the locker room.
No, I think that the one thing that I took away from that, though, that maybe gave me encouragement as much as that could be perceived as a negative is, if Robert McNair was still owning the Houston Texans, there's no way they would have looked at him if they knew that that was actually a fact, that there was some kind of altercation. But now, if they're looking at it like, hey, a change of scenery with a kid that's got talent, that's performed on the NFL level and had some decent games, is a guy that we could add to our roster because we need guys like that. And so they took the chance, they took the flyer, and they picked him up. I like that because that's something that was unheard of and never thought would be possible from the Houston Texans. So I think that's a good step in the right direction. Now, if he continues to be a problem, you didn't give up anything. So if you want to turn right around and show him the door because it didn't work out, that's okay too.
Do you agree with what he said about San Francisco being the best team in the NFC?
I think they very well might be. I think based on a conversation that we had the other day, I'm not sold on Philadelphia. And I said this, and I've got people on Twitter that are waiting for the day that I change my opinion about Jalen Hurts. The only way to change my opinion on Jalen Hurts is to have him do what he couldn't do last year, which is help his team win playoff games and take his team up levels. He hurt them and basically was a reason why they lost that game to Tampa Bay and they had a shot at. So that's not going to change. But in terms of overall, when you look at the Eagles, when I look at Kirk Cousins running the Vikings, I don't believe that those teams are the cream of the crop of the NFC. Their records just show right now they're on top. I think a team like San Francisco, because of the fact that they added McCaffrey when they did, their defense is so good in so many ways. And they've got good skill position players and a good they have arguably the best left tackle in football and a good offensive line. That's the team that seems the most complete to me, although I understand concerns about Garoppolo.
The NFC playoffs are going to be fascinating to me. Didn't Brendan say a couple weeks ago that the NFC playoffs are going to be boring?
Yep.
Wasn't that? I don't want to put words in your mouth, Brendan. Like Twitch is putting words in my mouth right now.
Well, it was specifically. That was for our bold takes.
Oh, like, yeah.
I recognized
yeah.
it was strong. I just still don't think it's crazy. I think half the teams in the NFC playoffs are going to be bad football teams.
I think the NFC playoffs will be more intriguing than the AFC playoffs, at least in the first two rounds.
Because
you have teams like the Jets. The Patriots, like, there's not a whole lot of intrigue there.
You think those teams are less intriguing than who's the 7 seed right now? Is it Tampa Bay?
Yeah. No.
Tampa Bay's interesting.
Tom Brady?
Who's the 6 seed?
I think the least interesting team in the NFC that's probably in the playoffs right now would be Seattle.
Yeah, I like Seattle.
I think, but other than Seattle, like, the top 7, Philly,
I don't think Seattle's
Minnesota,
actually good.
The Giants, the Cowboys, San Francisco, Tampa Bay.
See,
that's intrigue.
I think the AFC Green playoffs
Bay,
are better
Green
football.
Bay's got a chance. Now I think the championship game, I'm with you on that.
I think from a parity standpoint of seeing more competitive games because there's no definitive cream of the crop means something. But I think what's going to disappoint you as you go deeper into the playoffs and get closer to the championship games and the Super Bowl, you might find out that the Super Bowl might be the AFC championship game because the NFC doesn't have, no matter who comes out of it, a strong enough contender to compete in the big game.
713-780-ESPN every Thursday at 2. It's the worst takes of the week. You want to participate? 713-780-ESPN. What are the worst ones you've heard? 713-780-3776. It's Bad Take Boulevard with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, Bad Take Boulevard is like exposing the trash. If you expose the trash and you know where it is and you try to get rid of it but you didn't think of how, this is why I encourage you to go Vavia, because whether you're doing some home improvements or maybe you're cleaning out the garage in the attic, maybe you're doing some other things around the house in the yard, and you know who you're going to go to and how you're going to get the end result that you want. You just didn't think about how you're going to get rid of the excess and all the garbage that goes with it. Vavia can help. Vavia can help because they have 10-yard and 15-yard roll-off dumpsters, small enough to fit comfortably in your driveway or in your yard, attractive enough to keep the HOA away, And they can drop them off in the morning, pick them up at night, and make sure that they are out of the way the same day. Five-star service, same-day delivery. It's just another reason why everybody is going to Vivia for their dumpster needs. From waste removal to business expansion projects, project managers are also going to Vivia. That's why Texas Custom Patio is who you hear advertising on this very station. Go to Vivia with all their waste needs when they're working on commercial projects. We used the Vivia people at our ESPN golf tournament. We could not be happier with the results. You need to get in touch with Vivia if you got anything going on where you need to take out the trash. GoVivia.com. That's GoVivia.com. Tell them you heard it on ESPN 97.5.